You are listening to On the Road with your DOT guy, Brian Riker. Need help with regulations? Thinking about starting your own trucking company? Or just think trucks are cool? Well, this is the place for you. I am your DOT guy, Brian Riker. This week, we're going to have a special edition to discuss these out-of-control fuel prices and what you can do about them. I'll give you some fuel conservation tips, some purchasing tips, and we're just going to have a general discussion about fuel prices based on my 30 years experience in the industry as a small fleet owner and a fuel purchaser. But first, here are some important industry news. Truck-involved crash fatalities drop as overall traffic deaths rise. The number of people killed in crashes involving large trucks fell by 1.3% in 2020 as compared to 2019, despite an overall 6.8% increase in traffic fatalities in 2020, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's 2020 traffic crash data. NHTSA defines a large truck as a commercial and or non-commercial vehicle with a gross weight rating greater than 10,000 pounds. So these statistics are slightly skewed since they're including vehicles that would not be a traditional commercial vehicle, but it's still positive news. It's trending in the right direction, downward. In 2020, there were 4,965 people killed in crashes involving large trucks, down from 5,032 the year prior. The number of large truck occupants killed in crashes fell from 893 to 831, while the number of other vehicle occupants and non-occupants, such as pedestrians, motorcyclists, pedal cyclists, and more, fell from 4,139 to 4,134 from 2019 to 2020. The number of people injured in large truck-involved crashes also declined in 2020, falling 7.8% from 159,359 injuries in 2019 to 146,930 injuries in 2020. Overall, there were 38,824 lives lost in traffic crashes across America in 2020, the highest number since 2007. NHTSA noted that in 45% of fatal crashes, the drivers of passenger vehicles were engaged in at least one of the following risky behaviors: speeding, alcohol impairment, or not wearing a seatbelt. The feds warn of an uptick in Russian cyber attacks. Commercial Carrier Journal reports that a Russian-born ransomware attack last year shut down one of the largest fuel pipelines in the U.S. for several days, and with tensions between the U.S. and Moscow growing daily, federal officials warn that cyber attacks are likely to rise. The Colonial Pipeline shutdown resulted in a shock to the U.S. infrastructure, topped off with a $5 million payout to hackers, while serving as another warning that cyber attacks pose ever-present risks. As of early May 2021, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security estimates a nearly threefold increase in ransomware attacks during the past year. A majority of these attacks targeted smaller businesses. Transportation has long been a focus of the attacks. Nearly 30% of transportation and logistics organizers reported more than 20 supply chain disruptions via cyber attack in 2020, according to BCI's Supply Chain Resilience Report, up from just 4.8% reporting the same number in 2019. Across all industries, the number of cyber attacks is increasing, but transportation stands out as one of the fastest growing sectors, while attacks have already risen almost 150% between January 2020 and the end of last year. So folks, be very vigilant when clicking on a link on your computer or emails you weren't expecting. This is real, and this could shut you down if they get into your computer systems. Even when you're just a one truck owner operator, just attacking your ELD records, maybe your brokerage accounts, or locking you out of your cell phone for a couple of days could spell disaster. So just be on alert. And finally, leading into the subject of today's podcast, S.J. Munoz with Landline Magazine reports that the oil market is clouded with uncertainty. During its most recent monthly meeting on March 2nd, OPEC cited a well-balanced market in making the decision to maintain a production plan approved in April 2020 and reaffirmed in July of 2021, according to an OPEC news release. The news release on the OPEC website also noted that current volatility is not caused by changes in market fundamentals, but by current geographical developments. OPEC reaffirming its decision to adjust the monthly overall production by 400,000 barrels per day in April 2022. So we have at least a month before they consider another adjustment. Just one day later, however, on March 3rd, Brent crude oil was $114 per barrel, while West Texas Intermediate crude was $111 per barrel as of 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, according to oilprice.com. A Reuters report detailed oil costs not seen since May of 2012, including a Brent crude price of $119.84 per barrel. So far, sanctions imposed on Russia over its invasion of the Ukraine have yet to target oil and gas exports, with the exception of a ban on the export of specific refining technologies, said the Reuters report. A proposed deal between the United States and Iran would increase production by more than 1 million barrels per day of oil, Reuters reported. However you look at it, folks, this is not a good thing. In my home state of Pennsylvania, gasoline spiked 20 cents overnight, and I have seen marquee prices of diesel fuel as high as $5.25 a gallon personally in Pittston, Pennsylvania on March 4th, 2022. So fuel prices are going to get out of control. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
Move over.
When you see signs,
lights,
vests,
please give us some room.
Slow down.
Slow down and move over.
When you need help,
it's our job
to help you,
to save you,
despite the danger.
This danger.
This danger is real.
Do your part.
Please.
Slow down. Slow down and move over.
Move over.
What's up, ecosystem? This is Jay at ATI, the Car Shipping Business Channel. Catch more of your DOT guy, Brian Riker, on DOT Compliance every Wednesday at noon Central Time on YouTube, answering your questions live. Protect your CDL and improve your safety score, because this country needs great drivers like you. Skipping the scale? Do not guess. In the long run, not good for business. Let Brian help you stay compliant with FMCSA trucking regulations and stay on the road.
Welcome back. Whether you're new to the industry or a seasoned vet, you know that you have to have fuel for your truck to go down the road. I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm really not. But fuel has gotten out of hand anymore, and depending on what segment of the market you're in, you may or may not be able to recover some of your costs with fuel surcharges or rapidly adjusting rates. If you have long-term customers and you're locked into a good rate structure, you'll have a fuel surcharge mechanism in place that will allow you to adjust for the fuel. That said, your customers may end up adjusting their production output, because everybody has a limit to what they can afford to pay to produce their products and what their customers will pay to purchase their products. So let's talk about a few things. The first thing we'll talk about is the concept of a fuel surcharge. This doesn't necessarily apply when you are taking brokered loads off of a load board. Oftentimes, the rate is an all-inclusive rate there, where it, in theory at least, is calculated to include current fuel prices for the fuel necessary to complete the job. But when you have long-term contracts with certain brokers, or mostly when you have long-term contracts with direct shippers, you will set a rate, and then that rate will go up or down based upon current market conditions such as truck availability, fuel prices, and so on. And the way you would calculate a fuel surcharge is whatever the base rate of fuel was at the time you put the contract into place, and your expected fleet economy, so your fuel economy for your truck, and you come up with a number that you're going to need to adjust the contract up or down in a percentage, so that when fuel jumps 20 cents a gallon, your rate per mile goes up enough to cover that extra 20 cents per gallon in fuel cost. Fairly simple concept. Despite some popular opinion, there is no federal program that regulates what a fuel surcharge is. There aren't even any federal programs that regulate that fuel surcharge must be passed through 100% to the person that purchases the fuel. When you're a leased owner operator, your carrier may be charging a fuel surcharge, and they may or may not be passing that through to you, the person who actually pays for the fuel that goes into the tank of your truck. Read your contract, read your lease agreement very carefully. Many, many years ago, we had this arbitrary $1.25 a gallon number that fuel surcharges were based on. But recently, that has been adjusted because we haven't seen a $1.25 a gallon diesel fuel in a very, very long time. So read the details of your contract, see what the base rate could be, double check that you have a fuel surcharge in place and that you're calculating and collecting it properly. So that's tip number one. Stick around. And we will be right back after this short break with some more fuel purchasing tips.
You ever find yourself in a ditch in Dallas? Maybe busted brakes in Buffalo? When a breakdown occurs, and it will, what do? Searching for an available roadside mechanic, towing company, or tire service can quite frankly be a pain in the butt. Oh, you can search the internet for a provider, only to find out that they aren't open, available, or even still in business. Introducing Servicase.com. Servicase is a breakdown solution available to fleets and operators. Unlike outdated listing services, Servicase allows you to not only search for a provider, but to select and electronically dispatch the call without ever picking up the phone. You will even receive electronic status updates, providing the clearest indication of when you'll be back on the road. Give it a shot. It could be the best breakdown experience of your life. That's Servicase.com. Servicase.com.
Welcome back. Before the break, we were discussing fuel surcharge, so how you can make sure you're collecting all the revenue that is due to you to cover your rising fuel costs. Now, how about some fuel purchasing tips? Because not everybody has a fuel surcharge, and even when you do, we need to stay on track with spending that money responsibly. This is a very uncertain time, and hopefully this conflict in Ukraine will be over soon and the market will start to correct, but combining rises in fuel prices with parts shortages, labor shortages, and supply chain disruptions as a whole, it has our whole industry turned upside down here in North America. So you have to do everything you can do to control your costs. And perhaps the biggest cost you can control is your fuel purchasing, at least manage how you purchase it. So let's look at a fuel purchasing strategy. Oftentimes, we make the mistake of looking at the marquee price. That is the price on the big sign you can see a mile away on the highway, or pump price is what some folks will call it. And without calculating in discounts you may get from having a fuel purchasing account or a discount agreement such as the NASTEC card or the OOIDA card or Trucker's Advantage and many of the other dozens, if not hundreds, of fuel purchasing cards that come with discount programs. Absent all that, I'll talk about the most basic concepts of fuel purchasing. You don't necessarily want to just look at the cheapest price at the pump if you have a IFTA qualified vehicle, meaning you have an IFTA decal and you have to report your fuel purchased and the mileage you run in every state. Because the fuel tax rates are significantly different from state to state. Now, if you don't have a IFTA-qualified vehicle, if you do not have to report your fuel purchases, then absolutely, you want to shop for one thing and one thing only, the lowest possible pump price, plus considering any discount you get from whatever purchasing card you use to purchase the fuel, or perhaps even cash to take advantage of the 5 to 10 cent a gallon cash discount you get at most places. But for the majority of the trucking operators in North America, they're going to have to calculate fuel taxes. So then you look at the pump price, you look at the discount you get for that particular location from your fuel purchasing card if you have it. So you would subtract that off of the pump price, but you're not done. As they used to say, but wait, there's more. Then once you've calculated that to be your accurate street price, then you subtract the fuel tax from it and you're getting your actual true cost per gallon. And the reason you do this is you're going to pay that fuel tax, whether it's 44 cents or 73 cents or whatever it is, you're going to pay that fuel tax no matter where you purchase the fuel. So you subtract that from your adjusted street price, and that gives you your true cost per gallon. Then you look at the states you're going to travel through and where you may need fuel, and you do the same calculation for the fuel stops along the route, and you may find that even though you're in a state that has a higher price on the marquee, a higher pump price, it's a lower cost per gallon overall for you when you subtract out the taxes you're going to pay. And it doesn't matter that you pay the taxes in the wrong state, because that's the beauty of the International Fuel Tax Agreement. IFTA collects all these taxes, you file your reports on the miles you actually drive, and it gives credit and refund to the different states, so they get their share of the money, and you get the difference refunded to you, which is an advantage to having IFTA compared to the companies that don't have to report IFTA, because that tax money is gone at the pump when it's spent. There is no refund because you bought fuel in a high-tax state just to get across the border. So when you make this calculation and you figure out your true cost per gallon is the best way to manage your money, even though it may seem counterproductive because you're paying a higher total dollar amount on that specific purchase, but I promise you it all washes out in the end when you file your tax return for IFTA and you get your refund back or your credit applied to the other states. So after the break, I have one more discussion, one more topic on fuel, and that is some fuel conservation techniques, because we can manage the purchase of fuel all we want, but if we're still wasting fuel, then we're not doing ourselves any good. So stick around, and we'll find out how to conserve some fuel after this message.
Starting a new trucking company and you don't know where to begin? Got a bad inspection at a roadside and not sure how it affects your safety score? Need help understanding the complex regulations that govern the trucking industry? Or not even sure you are a regulated trucking company? Fret no more and give the experts at Fleet Compliance Solutions the opportunity to help. With over 30 years in the transportation industry, our founder and chief compliance specialist, Brian Riker, has the expertise needed to provide real-world solutions to your fleet's safety and compliance problems today. Not just a suit in an office, Brian still holds a valid Class A CDL and gets into the field often to stay current with the issues faced by truck drivers today. For more information, visit our website, yourdotguy.com, or email onair@yourdotguy.com.
Thanks for sticking around. Now that we have discussed fuel purchasing techniques and fuel in general, we're now going to discuss some fuel conservation techniques. Fortunately, the very cold winter is coming to an end shortly, so obviously, you don't want to idle your truck when you don't have to, when you're trying to conserve fuel. And actually, with these modern diesel engines with diesel particulate filters, it's important to reduce the idle time on them as much as possible. Anyhow, because excessive idle plugs up the diesel particulate filter, leads to increased wear on that system and shortened maintenance intervals, and repairing or replacing your diesel particulate filter can be a couple thousand to upwards of a $10,000 to $12,000 repair. And like everything else, there's part shortages on your after-treatment systems for the exhaust. So this will save you money in two ways. It'll save you on actual burn rate of fuel, plus it'll save you on maintenance down the line. So obviously, think about shutting your truck off. You don't need to let it run when you're running from the fuel pump in to pay for your fuel or going inside to go to the bathroom and grab a soda or a non-sugar drink is what we should be drinking, a low-calorie drink out of the cooler. It does not hurt your engine to shut it off. I have been a diesel mechanic as long as I have been a truck driver, and the tolerances are so much tighter in these modern engines that they don't have the same concerns we had just two or three generations ago, 20, 30 years ago, on diesel engines. The same thing goes for a warm-up period. You don't need to start your truck and let it run for 20 or 30 minutes. You're not doing yourself any favors. You're not going to bring the engine all the way up to operating temperature on a diesel motor until you start driving down the highway. It's a fact. Diesel engines cool off at idle. When you have a diesel that's overheating, it's not like a gas job motor where you need to stop moving and turn it off immediately. A diesel, you want to let it sit there and idle for a moment or two to bring its temperatures down. So consider giving yourself a 3-minute to 5-minute warm-up period instead of a 20 to 30-minute warm-up period before you hit the road with your truck at the beginning of your day. You're not going to damage anything. Sitting there idling doesn't warm up your transmission and your rear differential fluids anyhow. It strictly circulates some oil and warms up your engine oil slightly. Just drive it slowly. Don't hammer on it for the moment you put it in gear. Just drive it slowly for the first 2 or 3 minutes. Get up to speed slowly as you're getting out on the highway. The truck will come right up to temperature, and you'll save some fuel that way. And while we're talking about getting up on the highway, think about how you're accelerating. And I don't care what type of transmission you have in the truck, manual or automatic. Just think about how you're accelerating. It's not a race anymore. With $5 to $6 a gallon diesel fuel, we can't afford to show off. So you don't have to be the fastest truck off the line. You don't have to race between stop sign to stop sign when you're in a city. Slow and steady wins the fuel economy race. It's been said time and time again, drive like there's an egg under your throttle and you don't want to break it. Then when you do have a manual transmission, it doesn't perform as well, but you may want to consider things like progressive shifting, where you barely make the RPM necessary to get the next gear and then make the gear shift instead of holding it out a little further into the torque range. Your truck's going to accelerate a little slower, but you're not going to hurt anything in the truck by doing it that way. Same thing when it comes to coming to a stop. We waste so much energy as heat loss by throttling up until the last second, then letting off the throttle and getting on the brake immediately. Obviously, for safety reasons, you have to do that when somebody cuts you off or an unexpected event happens in front of you. But when you know you're going to be taking an exit ramp, or you know you're coming up to a stop sign, or you can see you have a stale green traffic light ahead of you, meaning the light's been green and there's a high chance it's going to turn red before you get there, you don't have to stay under power until the last possible second. Lift your right foot up a little bit and let momentum start to slow you down. It'll save fuel. It'll save wear and tear on your brake system. It'll stop getting your wheel ends hot. It'll save to extend the life of your wheel seals. Right now on the parts shortage side, there is a major shortage of wheel bearings and the rubber to make seals. So even if we weren't having a fuel crisis, right now you want to do everything you can to keep the heat to a minimum on your wheel end assemblies. And coincidentally, that is going to be the focus of Road Check 2022 this May. CVSA is going to be looking at wheel ends, looking for wheel seal leaks, brakes out of adjustment, brakes not properly maintained. And just by adjusting your driving habits slightly, you'll not only be saving fuel, you'll be reducing wear on components that are hard to get right now, and possibly even preventing yourself from getting a bad inspection this May during Road Check. And then, of course, we want to talk about fuel loss. So now may be a good time to consider locking fuel caps and maybe a change in fuel purchasing strategies. I know over-the-road truckers that sleep in their truck, a lot of times they'll roll into the truck stop they're going to stop at for the night. They'll top off their fuel tank so they get their shower credit. And I am not suggesting we don't take a shower or anything like that, but maybe consider planning which truck stop you're going to stop at that evening and buying your fuel earlier on in the trip, because there are people to sit at the truck stops right now and watch, and they see that you just topped off your fuel tank and they see you grab your shower bag and walk inside, and they know you're going to be inside 30 to 45 minutes. They pull up next to your truck. They suck half a tank, maybe even suck your tank dry. And now, not only are you stuck replacing that fuel, that $500, $800, $1,000 fuel purchase is gone in the wind, or if you don't happen to notice that they took a lot of fuel out of your truck, maybe you have a faulty fuel gauge, maybe you just overlooked it, it happens to all of us, you may even run out of fuel down the road later on. So locking fuel caps, they don't keep everybody out, but they help. And thinking fuel purchasing in a strategic manner, not just for price and availability and range based on your current fuel economy, but also to help prevent theft. Think also about where you park when you have an option, and maybe you don't want to be parked in that back corner that a car could get access to your truck easy when nobody's looking or something like that. So I know this has been a lot to digest on fuel, and we could probably talk for hours and get down into the details of fuel purchasing, but I just wanted to give you this very important information this week while fuel prices are spiking. You may also want to think about your fuel purchases because the prices may adjust as often as every night during this period of uncertainty. So you may want to make sure you have that fuel in your truck at the beginning of the day so that when the fuel adjusts up tomorrow, you're saving a couple pennies. I don't know. You have to weigh your security options and your comfort, your purchasing power, and your risk tolerance. But again, this has been a lot. And I just want to say, please, please feel free to reach out to the show with any questions you would like answered in greater detail in a future episode, or if you even have more questions about fuel purchasing, I'm happy to share my experiences. With your help, we can make this show exactly what you want and need to learn about operating a safe, profitable, and effective transportation company, even in these times of great uncertainty. This has been On the Road with your DOT guide, Brian Riker. We welcome your comments and questions. You can leave a voicemail on the studio call-in line at 706-409-5603 or email your comments to onair@yourdotguy.com. That's all one word, onair, O-N-A-I-R, @yourdotguy.com. And remember, we are available wherever podcasts can be found, including Google, iTunes, iHeartMedia, Stitcher, and more. Thanks for listening, and please remember to give us a 5-star rating and share this episode with your friends to help build our audience and make us easier to find on your favorite podcast platform.